Hi, your 11s. Poppies. Jane Weir's Poppies. This podcast is going to be talking about poppies, especially just simple comparisons you can make, especially on the theme of the two themes I'm going to go over being the effects of memory, power of memory, and the realities of war. So, poppies. Poppies, we know, is about the perspective of a mother whose son has gone off to war and lost him. Voice crack. First voice crack of the podcast. Whose mother has gone off to war and lost him. And she's kind of reminiscing on the memory. So we have the memory there, but we also have the theme of war very central to the poem. So the first thing I'm going to compare... Firstly, I'm going to compare it to Remains. So both poems, right off the bat, what you can talk about, the speakers are... structurally, the speakers are going back through their own memories. So both poems are structured in the present tense with poets looking back on the past. This, just that alone, suggests the significance of the power that memory has, because they've been structured in a way where the poet's focus is backwards rather than forwards. Some evidence of that can be in the start of Poppies, where she starts with "before you left," where she's looking at things in the present tense and comparing them to the past. Obviously showing that the past is what's happened in the past, the loss of her son, had such a strong effect that it alters the present. So another way that we can see in Poppies that the past alters the present for the speaker is when she's thinking about the moment when she sends her son off, putting the poppy on his lapel, something that should be sort of celebratory, something very solemn, very serious, and very dignified. She describes the poppy going onto his lapel as crimped petals, spasms of paper red, disrupting a blockade of yellow bias. So it's sort of like you guys have the red... the red lining on your blazers, that's the blockade, the yellow bias on her son's lapel that is being disrupted by the spasms that is the poppy. So we can see here how the past affects the present, how the past affects her perception of the present. The other way around, how the past is distorting itself. Because the knowledge of her son's death has disrupted what is normally an honorable and very solemn symbol, the poppy, and turned it into spasms, which has very violent connotations. And because that has really violent connotations, we can see how her memory is altering reality for her in a way. It's changing based on her own emotions. And it's also significant to look at the verb disrupting that is used there, signifying the way that what happened has disrupted her life in a way. The memories are disrupting her life in the same way that the poppy disrupted the blockade, the lining on his lapel. This could be really easily linked to Remains. The Remains, the speakers, the whole structure. It sounds as if he's talking through the story, trying to work his way through it, almost like he's talking to a psychiatrist of some sort or going through some sort of therapy. And when he gets to the very end of, sorry, well, he gets to the end of his story, which is not really the end, we can see the effects of that carrying on. So that links to in Remains, where we see that halfway through, it's the end of the story, except not really, how the past isn't just the past, how it drags on into the future and causes conflicts for the people who had those traumatic pasts, both in Poppies with the spasms of paper red and in Remains with the memory of the man that he killed. Another way we can link Poppies to Remains, if you look about halfway through the poem, there's this giant caesura. As the speaker in Poppy says, "all my words flattened, rolled, turned into felt." And there's a large break, a caesura, before slowly melting. So the caesura's effect here, it sort of emphasizes what the poet's words are discussing, the idea that her words have been flattened, that she is finding it hard to speak about her past. The caesura is showing, emphasizing how her life has been disrupted and broken by the loss of her son. And that really easily links to Remains, which is all full of caesuras, creating an irregular rhythm and an irregular pattern to the poem, which could be representative of the speaker's mental state and how his life has been disrupted and is out of order based on what happened in the past. And another way we can link poppies to Remains, if we think about the connotations of what we expect of war. We expect that war is an honorable thing. Maybe if you're thinking about Charge of the Light Brigade, traditionally war is seen as something that you're sent off to war to serve for a purpose, and that is a very honorable thing. There's slight suggestions of the celebration of the sun at line 22, when the mother says, "A split second and you are away, intoxicated," suggesting that the son is celebrating, thinking that he's off to do something good because he's getting intoxicated and he's celebrating his life. but it could also, the word intoxicated could also imply how he's been intoxicated into thinking that war is something he should do. When in reality, as we find out in this poem, it's something that has very negative effects. It has very lasting traumatic effects for his mother, whose emotions can't be let go of. And that also relates to Remains, which gives us the flip side of war, the reality of what happens afterwards, the aftermath, you know, the aftermath of war, and going back again to that line, end of story, except not really. The whole poem is about really what actually happens when people are sent off to war, exposing the realities of war. And it's interesting that in Poppies, the son seems intoxicated, suggesting he's celebrating, thinking that going off is a good thing. Whereas in Remains, we have reference to intoxication in that the memories now need to be flushed out with drink and drugs. The significance of this can be that while the son in Poppies sort of believes that war is something good because he's getting intoxicated off to enjoy it, he's celebrating what he's about to do, in Remains we have a much more negative impression of the aftermath, that the aftermath of war has led him to intoxication, that not only does he need that, but that kind of relates to the way war has intoxicated his memories because he can't let go of that traumatic experience. And one more connection between Poppies and Remains, you could talk about the speaker's weakness. In both cases, the poems represent their speakers as very weak because of the memories, because of the effects of war. The mother is described, says that she's skirting the churchyard walls, line 27. My stomach busy, making tucks, darts, pleats, hatless, without a winter coat, or reinforcements of scarf, gloves. So being without reinforcements obviously gives us the idea that she's weak, with that military term of reinforcements, reminding us that of war and how war has caused this for her. And the fact that she's hatless, without a scarf, without gloves, and a coat, suggesting how she has become defenseless to what has happened in her life, how she feels weak. And that weakness of the speaker is mirrored in Remains. I've already talked about the irregular rhythm, but there's a lot of lines, especially near the end, where he talks about the man that he killed not being left in some distant, sun-stunned, sand-smothered land, and the rhythm really carries on, and he can't keep it within the regular beat of the rest of the poem. The fact that those lines kind of break out of the regular rhythm, and that the whole poem has this weird disrupted rhythm to it, could be suggestive of the way that the speaker is weak, because they can't even order their own thoughts into a, you know, quote-unquote ordered poem. So both poems, like I said, have suggestions about how the past affects the present, especially in a negative way. They have caesuras and irregular rhythms that suggest about the speaker's weaknesses and how they have been broken. They also talk about intoxication to kind of show us the flip side of what happens in war. And those suggestions about them both being weakened by what has happened You talk about that being a memory that has weakened them, or the effects of war that has weakened them. That could easily go into either category. The other poem I'm going to talk about, you could also link to the effects of war and memory. So Poppies, you could also link to Emigre very easily. There are two poems that have a really good, do a really good job of contrasting each other, especially when it comes to the effects of memory. Again, in Poppies, we have Before You Left in the first stanza, emphasizing the poet's reminiscent tone. And that's similar to the way in Emigre we start with There Once Was a Country, that backwards reflective look at her past. So both poems are structured so that the speaker is looking backwards, suggesting right away that just from the fact that they are looking back, that that memories do have some kind of implicit power. Furthermore, you could also talk about the way that in Poppies and Emigre, there's a very pleasant tone towards certain moments in the past. There's a nostalgic tone. In Poppies, the speaker remembers smoothing down your shirt's upturned collar, stealing the softening of my face. I wanted to graze my nose across the tip of your nose, play at being Eskimos like we did when you were little. So you could really talk about that because she's talking about the sun as a child. She's thinking words like play, connoting sort of nostalgic memories. And that could be linked to Emigre in the way that she thinks about her past and her childhood. All the light imagery in Emigre really reinforce the idea about the past being a positive thing, something worth reminiscing about. And the opening of the poem, There Once Was a Country, lends the poem this fairy tale tone, which really could be discussed as a way that the poet creates a nostalgic sense of memory and a very positive sense of the effects of memory. And even though both poems do have their moments where they think positively back, they think in a pleasant and sentimental way back into their past, they also have moments where they think about the negativity of the past, shown with the gelled blackthorns of the son's hair and how the child has changed. He's grown up from being soft and a little child, where she could play Eskimo with kisses with him, into the man that now has gelled blackthorns. A very contrasting image there between the idea of playing with someone's nose that is very soft and the gelled hard blackthorns of his hair now that he is an adult, showing how memories can change and that the changing of those things we remember can have a very powerful effect on us. That could be linked to the way in Emigre, she thinks about her past and, you know, all these, it's as being sunlight clear. It's usually described with light imagery all throughout it. But now she acknowledges that it is sick with tyrant. So that the message about memory is that we can hold on to our past despite the present. And that sometimes nostalgia and sentimentality can comfort us despite horrific presence. The present fact, for example, that in Poppies her son is dead, and in Emigre her country is not the same anymore. Now it's sick with tyrant. Time has dragged its tanks over it. And the other thing that you could talk about in comparison from Poppies to Emigre, you talk about going back to that point about the speaker's weakness, how they're hatless, without reinforcements. That could be linked to the Emigre, where there's a contrast of how they feel about their past. In Emigre, the past gives the poet, the speaker, a sort of confidence. Even though, and near the end, they talk about how they accuse me of being dark in her free city, that because of her past, she now has a present negative experience. She still is very confident and proud of her past, where in the last line she talks about the shadow created by her past being proof of that sunlight. So that all the negative things that have happened, the idea of the shadow connoting negativity, really just reinforce the fact that there was sunlight. So the poet has a much more positive tone when it comes to thinking about their memories. Whereas in Poppies, even when she looks at something beautiful like the poppy on her son's lapel, that is only a reminder of the negative present. She can't hold on to the positive past like the poet Namajere can, who keeps talking about the sunlight and who talks about the shadow of the present being only proof of sunlight. So if there's other poems you would like to compare to, I think Kamikaze would be a good comparison. You could talk about, you know, the effects of memory, because both of them are remembering someone being sent off to war, and the effects that war has. You'd also talk a little bit about war photographer, the lack of ability of speakers to order the disrupting pasts. And you could compare it very easily to bayonet charge in the sense of losing perspective and losing purpose, especially losing feeling lost and losing a sense of why you're actually there, what and what is meaningful to you in the world. But I won't go over those. I'll let you go over those yourself if you'd like. Bye.